We are continuing our series in the book of 1 Peter. Today's message titled The Resurrection Life. Okay, let me read the passage for us. It says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray once more. Father, we are gathered here as your people under the authority of your word. So Holy Spirit, will you speak to us powerfully, personally? God, we would leave this place fundamentally changed from when we first walked in. And so you only have the power to do this. And so we beg you, God, we plead with you. Help us to listen carefully and humbly to what you have to say to us. And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 is all we're going to look at today. Mainly because it's pretty deep. You can read verse 3. It's one of those parts in the Bible where you could read it multiple times. For your quiet time, you can just meditate on it, read on it, study it, pray through it, and you'll be very, very encouraged and nourished, and all that good stuff. In any case, we want to look at three lessons from this passage. The first one being resurrection life and resurrection hope. Resurrection life and resurrection hope. Now these are, when we as human beings trust in Jesus, we have in Christ two types, quote unquote types of resurrection. Okay, the first one being spiritual. Okay, now the spiritual resurrection happens instantaneously. The moment we trust in Jesus, the moment we say, yes, Jesus is the only way, only hope for me. That at that moment, God by the power of His Spirit, God, the Triune God, actually according to this entire into this passage, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit works, and does a miracle, namely in that they bring back a dead soul to life. All right. So the moment we say we trust in Jesus, our souls are made alive. Okay. So there is an instantaneous resurrection. At the same time, there is also a second resurrection, a physical resurrection, that obviously we don't have yet. Okay. Physical resurrection that we don't have yet. And so what Peter does here is reminds us of the reality that if you have been resurrected spiritually because of our faith and our trust in Jesus, then just as Jesus rose from the dead, so we will one day 100% be raised from the dead. Right? Because when God created Adam in Genesis, God didn't create a spirit, nor did he create just an empty body. He created a human being that is body and soul, right? And so that's another thing that sin does. What sin does is it separates body and soul. You see that? Because of sin, what God said in Genesis was, what, if you disobey me, you will surely die. When he said death in Genesis, he meant physical and spiritual. Okay? That curse in terms of the spiritual death is lifted instantaneously when we trust in Jesus. And that curse of death on our physical bodies will eventually be taken away also. Though not yet. Right? And so we have this in the Bible professors and pastors and seminary circles. It's called the now and the not yet. Right? It's called the now and the not yet. It's now because we have already been resurrected. right? Our souls have already been resurrected, right? And Jesus says in John 6, what? That there's nothing that can snatch you from my hands, right? It means Jesus has a strong grip. You play football with Jesus, he's not going to drop a pass because he's got a strong grip, okay? And so if Jesus says, I got you, he got you, right? He's not going to drop you. He's not going to forget. You don't slip through his fingers, right? In the same way, when Jesus came back from the dead, he says, boom, remember what I told y'all? I'm going to come back, and guess what? This is just proof. This is a receipt. This is a receipt. It's a little bit like those people who bought, have a lot of money, pre-ordered PS4s, right? $400 is what I've been told, right? They pre-ordered. And what you do is, I don't know if y'all ever pre-order stuff, but if you pre-order something, whether it be online or whether you go to the store, usually all you get is a receipt. A little piece of paper, that's all it says. It's all it says is your name and the fact that you paid for this item. And when that item comes out, all you need to do is either go to the store and say, here's my receipt, give me my stuff. Or they'll just send it to you. It's the same way. When Jesus came back from the dead, that was that receipt. Right? Jesus says, you trusted me, this is what's going to happen. Here's our receipt. And one day we get our receipts and we get to cash it in. Right? One day we take that receipt, we go to God and say, God, here's my receipt. And boom. We get our resurrection, right? And so there is a passage where Paul actually talks about that, right? He talks about how if he dies, right, it'll be awesome because his soul will be with Jesus and that'd be fantastic. But at the same time, he says, but I won't have a body, so I'll be a bodiless soul. I'll be with Jesus, that'd be great, but it's almost like I feel naked, right? And so what Paul says is if when we trust in Jesus and we die now, we will be with Jesus, and that's fantastic. Like my grandma, she's awesome. She's kicking it with Jesus right now, but she's still incomplete. And so even in heaven, my grandma is looking forward to the day when Jesus comes back, because then she'll be made whole again, right? She'll have a body, right? And our new bodies, it's not going to be like this body. Doesn't get sick, doesn't get broken, doesn't get busted it up. And the best of all, it doesn't sin. Right? It doesn't sin. And sometimes, I think there's a healthy exercise for as children of God to think about these things. Like, it's really good, I think, when you guys have a moment, wherever it be, in class, whatever, hopefully not while you're driving. But you think about, man, what's it going to be like to have a body that doesn't sin? Like, it's not touched by sin. You have no desire for sin. In fact, our bodies will be in the original, according to the original model, which is made by God for God. Right? So everything about us will be all about God. Right? Our greatest joy will be in God. And there will be nothing that even comes close to that pursuit. And so we have a reminder from here, from Peter, right, that we have a resurrection life currently. That when we trust in Jesus, you now live a resurrected life. Right? Galatians 2:20, right? You baptism kids. Baptism, guys, you guys need to memorize that. Galatians 2:20. Right? Remember that? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and what? I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. Right? What is that? Paul's talking about resurrected life. He's saying, when you trust in Jesus, your old self, your old sinful self is done, is gone. And instead, what happened is, when Jesus came back from the dead, our new lives began right there with him, right? And there's so much stuff that we can go into in terms of the resurrection and what all that means, but we'll save it for Easter, okay? And so what we have in Jesus right now is a resurrected life and a resurrection hope, right? Resurrected life in terms of our spiritual lives, and we have a resurrection hope in that one day though our bodies are currently busted and broken and whatever, one day it's going to be perfect. It's going to be all made whole. It's going to be all made new. And we have that guarantee. But here's, you know, there are parts in terms of when I prepare a message where I just kind of stop and think about different things. And this is a thought that I had. You ever think about what good is an eternity, right? The Bible talks about resurrection and a resurrection life. And Peter's talking about that now, right? Resurrection life. And that's good. He talks about it in a good way. But guess what? The Bible also talks about resurrection in a bad way. Because guess what? All those people who don't believe in God, who don't trust in Jesus, they're going to be resurrected too. But they're going to be resurrected onto eternal death. And so the question I had was, what good is a resurrection? What's the difference that separates between someone who trusts in Jesus and someone who doesn't? Because we both get resurrected. We both come back from the dead. We both have to face God. And my only conclusion according to this passage was a resurrection is only good because guess what? Look, when we come back, we don't die again, right? We don't get sick again, right? And that's only good. Only good, right? Because you get to spend eternity with God. Resurrection without God is eternal damnation, right? That's what hell is, right? All the people who don't trust in Jesus in the history of the world will come back, will be resurrected. They will come back to life, just like you and I. And they'll have bodies that are indestructible. But what's the difference? It's almost like God said, you don't want me? I'll give you what you want. An eternity without me. Right? So is it... So how does the resurrection affect us? Is it an eternal joy or eternal death? And I say the resurrection is only good because we get to spend eternity with God. And the best way I can explain this is one day, all of us, Lord willing, some of you sooner than later, you will meet a fantastic man or a woman. And everything about them is wonderful. Even the way their hair blows in the wind. Right? There is nothing they can do that will make you go, what the? One day you will grow up and realize that cooties are a lie. They don't really exist. And that women are actually awesome. Right? Some people have already come to that fact in the summer. Right, Hunter? Right? Now, Hunter, what happens is now you like everybody. Like, that's a girl, that's a girl, that's a girl. But guess what? There will be a one day when you're going to be like, oh, but there is that one girl. All I gotta tell you guys, it's wonderful. Right? Maybe y'all can talk to Elliot after service. It's gonna be on the internet now, right? And the worst thing, right? You know what the worst thing about dating Peggy was? Going home. Worst thing about dating my wife was going home. Why? Because no matter how awesome that date was, no matter how awesome that dinner was, no matter how awesome my game was at that night, I was like, everything I was saying and doing was boom, right? Of course, I blew it after like the first Valentine's Day because everything else after that was terrible, right? Anyway, no matter how good it was going, the worst part of that whole part of my life was going home. God... Resurrection, then. Resurrection is kind of like that with God. Except resurrection is you never get to say bye to God. You see that? It's right now, what we have in terms of relationship with God is a long distance type of relationship in that we don't really get to see God in all of his awesomeness. In fact, even after we were resurrected, we can't really see God in all of his awesomeness because it'll blow our minds even then. Right? And as intimate as Jesus is, and as intimate as and as close as God is to us now, imagine a time and a place where he will be even more closer. That we will, as the Bible says, get to talk and walk with God as Adam once did. So this resurrection for the believer is awesome because we never get to say goodbye to God. And it's awesome because it's an eternity. It's awesome because we get unfiltered, uncluttered, unhindered access to God 24/7. And it seems at first you're like, okay, that's kind of cool. But it's cool when you realize, like, this is the one. He's the one. He's the one that we were created for. He's the one that when you think about it, everything else becomes terrible because he's that awesome. Right? So that's the resurrection life and resurrection hope. Now, how does this happen? There has to be a process. Because God can't just take us dirty, disgusting sinners, haters of God, even enemies of God. And not just passive enemies, mind you. We are active enemies, active haters of God. We are like, we hate God, right? And we are very, very, we act that out. We prove to God, like, God, I hate you, right? It's not like, you know, it's not like we're like, God, we hate you. Ah, we just stand there. No, it's like, we hate you. Let me prove it. Ah. Right? God does this through Christ. Right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his, right, God the Father's mercy, God has caused us to be born again, spiritual resurrection, to a living hope, resurrection hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Meaning, if Jesus never came back from the dead, none of this is possible. We're just wasting time here. If the resurrection is not a historical fact, we're just wasting time. And the Christian Bible is a book of lies. And Paul says, we of all people are to be the most pitiful. Because we believe we've staked our lives and our eternities on a lie. But the good thing is, it is not a lie. Through Jesus, we have access to or more like God's mercy now has access to us through Christ. The definition of mercy, according to the Bible, is not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. That's mercy. Right? That's grace right there. Grace and mercy, they're intertwined. They're similar. But mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve. And like, you know, Nathan and I were talking about a couple weeks ago. We all deserve to go to hell under the justice of God. If God was completely fair, meaning just completely 100% justice, we all go to hell. No hope. But there is, within God, the existence of grace and mercy because of justice. And so, in spite of our sins, God, through Christ, upholds his justice in that he places his anger and his hatred and his justice against our sin on Christ. And then we take his life, his perfection. There is that transfer. And through that, we have resurrection. We have resurrection life. We have resurrection hope. Right? Focus on, if you have your Bible, just focus on or highlight or underline phrase, caused us to be born again. Right? And then circle the word to. And then circle the word from, right? It's the idea that there is nothing that we bring to this table, right? Once more, I said this before, right? There's nothing that we bring to our relationship with God except our sins, right? There's nothing in us that would make God give us a second look. As handsome as Brandon is, when God looks at his sin, he's not so handsome anymore. And the only reason why God would give Brandon or myself or anybody in this room a second chance is because of love. It's because of love. And so he causes us, meaning there's nothing, like we're like orphans, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves out of that orphanage. But guys, it's God who is that active seeker and rescuer and the washer. And so he rescues, he causes us, right? He creates in us new life, right? To a living hope. Two, right? English majors, two. Well, not all of you guys are in college. If you are an English major, two, right? I don't really know how to describe English languages because I learned in ESL or ESOL or whatever that gets called, right? But one thing I didn't know is the word two in the English language means that you are going from one place to another, right? The word two, I don't know what it's called. It's like a transitional whatever. So many languages in my head, I'm like forgetting what those terms are called. Anyway, the word to in English, it just means, it shows action. It's an action word, right? To, right? So we are born again to a living hope. From what? From death, right? If we are saved onto a living hope, then what are we saved from? You ever think about that? If I am saved onto a living hope, then what are we saved from? Well, the logic of that phrase would say, you're saved from the exact opposite. And so what's the opposite of living hope? Dying hopelessness? Makes sense, right? So through Christ, or apart from Christ, say it negatively, apart from Christ, there is no Jesus rescue plan, there is no Christmas story, and there is no Easter Sunday, every human being on the face of the planet in the history of the world is stuck with hopeless death. It's not just even death, it's hopeless death. And I'm not a biology major, I am not going to ever be a medical doctor, but one thing I do know about death in terms and dying people and dead people can do one thing, nothing. When my grandma passed away, she had no power to get up out of that coffin. When Peggy's grandma passed away, she had no power to get up out of that box. When my grandfather passed away 20 some odd years ago, he had no power. When you put a dead person in a coffin and put them in the ground, guess what? They can't do anything about that. They can't do anything to stop that. And that was us. Apart from God, that's what we are. Corpses. But through Christ, we are what? We're saved from that to a living hope. The last lesson we see is worthy. Worthy. I was thinking about this because Elliot and Johnny, you know, had brought back this old song that I love so much, and I totally completely forgot about it, honestly. The song says, worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised forever and a day. You know, and it's easy. As young people, you can be like, yeah, I go to youth group, I sing these songs. But guess what? Young people, don't ever think, right, Che, Joseph, right, Harvey, don't ever think, you know what, I'm young now, right, I'm going to get serious with God later. Guess what, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. Because if you don't get serious now with God, you're not going to get serious with God later. But then it goes on to everybody, right, to Nathan, to Brandon, right? You don't get serious with God now, You're not going to get serious with God when you go to college. Look at, ask Jay and Elliot. It's harder, actually, if anything. And to Elliot and Jay, you don't continue to grow in God right now. Guess what? When you graduate college, it's going to be even harder. And so when we sit here and we sing these songs and we do these Bible studies, think about it. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. Did you know that God actually, according to the Bible, God actually gets offended when you sing songs and you don't mean it? Because you're lying to him. If you don't love God and you sing a song that says, God, I'm full of love with you. I'm in love with you. God gets offended. In fact, he's actually going to record that. And there will be a day when he's going to say, hey, Joseph, you didn't really love me on this day, did you? And you'll say, no, sir, I didn't. I was not a believer in Christ, so therefore I did not love you. Then God will say, hey, guess what? I have an audio clip. And he sings, and he plays you singing that song. And he says, well, then why did you lie to me? There will come a day where we have to explain to God why we lied to him in his face, in his house. It's amazing how much disrespect we give to God on a pretty regular basis. I'll tell you what, I don't have a big house. I'm not king of anything. But if you come to my house and you lie to me in my house, I'm going to get offended. Then why is it that nowadays it's okay to go to God's house and lie to his face and disrespect him like that? And we think it's okay. It's not. It's not. And I don't mean to be coming down that hard, but that's the truth. So when we sing it, mean it. If you don't mean it, don't sing it. In fact, just read the words and ask yourself, why can't I sing this? Why don't I believe these songs? Because according to this, God is worthy. According to this passage, God is worthy. Why? Because he's given us resurrected life. He's given us a resurrected hope. He's given us a real hope. When the Christians say hope, it's not a perhaps. There's a chance. It's not, there's a fraction of a percentage of a, no. When Christians say hope, when we Christians use the word hope, it's a money in the bank. It's a, I have a deposit. It's already been paid for. I have the receipt. Hope. Okay? So when the Bible says hope, right? Going back to that PS4 illustration before, right? When you prepay for that PS4 and they give you that receipt at the store, guess what? Even if they run out of stuff, right, and there's a huge line out the door, guess what? You have that receipt, you skip that line, and you go straight to the counter and say, here's my receipt, give me my PS4. And they will give it to you. Right? They will give it to you. So if you prepay for a PS4, you don't hope in terms of, oh, I hope I get it. Or maybe, you know, because there's a chance that I might not. No. When you prepay, you're going to get it. So when the Christian said, when the Bible says hope, that's the kind of hope. Meaning, it's not really hope in terms of, oh, there's a chance it's not going to happen. There's a hope in terms of, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So our resurrection has already been paid for. Right? Our resurrection has already been paid for. Our hope is real. Right? Because someone else already paid for it. Right? And his credit is good. And he's got the money, right? He's got the money in the bank. He can pay for it. He can afford it. And he prepaid our resurrection. And when we trust in Jesus, we have that receipt. That's why we're worthy. That's why we can sing these songs. When you sing these songs, you got to think about that. Don't be stupid. Don't be idiots and just sing there. I'm going to sing the song. Hopefully Johnny won't mess up. Oh, we only got 5 minutes before lunchtime. Come on now. Come on now. As people of God, are we really going to give God that kind of attitude? Are we really going to give God that kind of praise? God would much rather have you just sit there and say, I can't sing that. I can't sing that. You know, this Thursday I had one of the scariest moments of my life. My windshield was completely fogged up, and for unknown stupid reasons. And then there was a sun, on top of that, there was a sun glare, so I couldn't see a thing. And I ran smack dive into a car in front of me that I didn't even see. one of the scariest moments of my life. If you've never been in a car accident, let me tell you, you don't want to be in one. It's not fun. It's not exciting. In fact, it's scary. Your adrenaline pumps up. Your heart beats like 300 miles per hour. It's scary. And any kind of injuries that you might have, you don't know it at that moment. It actually takes a couple days for it to catch up because your body has so much adrenaline, right, that it needs to wear out before you realize, oh, this hurts, oh, that hurts, or whatever. And guess what? On that Thursday morning, that cold Thursday morning, it was really cold that day too. I remember that. As I was filling out insurance information, talking to the police officer and talking to the other guy, the only thing that I could have in my mind was, I'm going to get through this. Why? Because I have a resurrected Christ. I have a resurrected life. And I have a resurrection hope. So you know what? This can go all to crap. My car will never be the same. I'm probably never even going to get that car back. My insurance might drop me like a hot cake and say, you know what? You are not insurable, so you should never, under any kind of circumstance, ever drive a car ever again in your life. That's possible. And that could happen to me. But at the same time, guess what? I've got a resurrection life. I've got a resurrection hope. Therefore, I can sit here and stand here with you and sing these songs saying, God is worthy. God is worthy. God is worthy. He is to be blessed. He is to be praised. He is to be adored. Let's pray.